really fun to be here. And it was wonderful, Jeannie, to hear how enthusiastic you are about your content. I'm probably going to do some of the same kind of bubbling forward. So this is a course, is was just indicated, that Charles Drum and I co-developed over a number of years, and Jana Peterson co-taught this year, so starting to move to other folks teaching the course, and no financial relationships to disclose. The objectives that I have for this morning are really to develop the, or to describe the development and the content of a course that was specifically designed for an MPH, although was developed in a modular fashion so it could be used for different teaching programs, and it really specifically focuses on disability within public health. And I'll talk about some of the opportunities and challenges in implementing this course. Let me just start by saying that disabilities is sort of one of those very unrecognized populations, and it's only been coming forward more recently, that it is 20% of the American population will self-report having a functional limitation that in many contexts reflects a disability. They vary greatly from those that are congenitally acquired to aging into disability with a range of sequelae of chronic diseases, or simply I don't know if we're supposed to say this, but simply the function of bodies wearing out. But overall, it's one in five people who will have a disability. That's of a substantially long-term nature. That does impact how they're able to live their lives. The view of disability, and actually public health's approach, has only in the past 20 years probably shifted from almost an exclusive focus on preventing of disability to moving to health promotion for people who already have a disability, sometimes also called prevention of secondary conditions in people with disability. And with that has been a really fundamental shift from not thinking about disability as illness, as not thinking about disability meaning that you now cannot have good health. And the World Health Organization has been very involved in part of this effort internationally. So we started this, and it's called a project up here, and it has been something we've engaged in for almost a decade at this point. The purpose was to promote an increased understanding and then inclusion of disabilities into public health. Certainly public health practice is what we were focused on, but backing up into backing up then into having disability included in public health education, and thought that the MPH level is really where it's at. So what we did was we developed, field tested, and evaluated a curriculum that really talks about contemporary perspectives and issues of disability to public health students. It started out, the CDC, although I'm there now, I wasn't at the time, they were very deliberate that they wanted to see a course developed in order to do exactly that. And so we were successful at Oregon Health and Science University in getting one of two grants that they put out through the Association of Teachers of Preventive Medicine. The other one went to Boston University that was commissioned in a sense to develop not a course, but a more of an academic tome on disability and public health, and I think that is coming out shortly. These things, because there hasn't been a history of disability in public health, every paragraph that I wrote might have taken me 3 weeks, or 3 days rather, to research and try to get some of the original documentation process. It was just very time intensive. So we had funding from the CDC, if I recall, it was like $65,000, and then I think we got a supplement of several thousand dollars for that. We used that money to pay for subject matter experts to come in. These aren't people that might not have done it without the funding, but allowed them to hire graduate students to help them. They were actually commissioned, in a sense, to write course content, and we were variably successful with that. But what we did have is a very rich, what we call a facilitated conversation method. This group, and I'll show you the list of who participated in that in just a couple of slides, was very transdisciplinary, and they met every 2 weeks over a period of, I think it was about 6 months back in, probably in 2000, at an in-depth discussion about what should be included, what the reading material ought to be. The people, we deliberately selected people with a broad range of perspectives, and we were very fortunate to have people who are fairly senior in their careers. So we had a full professor who is a bioethicist at Oregon Health and Science University who had also worked way back in 94 on the Oregon Health Plan and really bringing a more ethical perspective to that, when those of you who are familiar with some of the history of managed care in this country and the ADA, Oregon submitted the Oregon Health Plan to what was then the funding agency preceding CMS, HCLA, and it was sent back because ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, had just passed in 1990, and this was a case of discrimination against people who already had disabilities. So it got sent back, and Michael Garland was actually the bioethicist who ran through a whole series of community town hall meetings, starting to understand what does this really mean to have disability as part of public health and to have the rights that are afforded by the Americans with Disabilities Act. The state public health officer also participated in this focus group, and is one of the authors of a chapter. Another professor of public health who really came from a social welfare perspective. Another health scientist, I'm not seeing Mike Ward on here, who had been with the Department of Education, a man with significant cerebral palsy, and also a doctorate in special education who had worked from the federal government side for many years. An epidemiologist, actually several people with epidemiology background. The director of the Developmental Disabilities Council participated in this process, a full professor of special education, and a number of researchers with background in disability and social work. We included the vice provost, who had recently come in as the director of for the Office of Diversity and Multicultural Affairs. We were really fortunate. He got hired for the diversity multicultural aspect and was willing to expand their office to include disability, and he was a rehab engineer, which certainly helped. He had an understanding of some of the issues. Myself, who was the USED, University Center of Excellence in Disabilities director, with a background in psychology and public health. Dr. Drum has a background in disability law and policy, and then we had very deliberately a number of people who had personal experience with disability and family members and significant disability. So we had a range of perspectives, and that group would in fact get pretty deep into the issues and sort through how what needed to be included in the content, how that needed to be presented. And I know at one point we got into the debate of whether we really needed to be more neutral in our approach to the material, recognizing that we had a pretty strong advocacy perspective, and through the process of a discussion with the ethicist, could get to a place where we're comfortable to say, we know that our purpose is really to do something. We'll be upfront about that, and we'll structure things in order to try to present balanced information. So the group met, as I said, for 6 months, identified the topic areas, the competencies, and the experiential activities that might be included in a course like this. And then we allocated the topics, and we had a primary contributor and then a secondary contributor, and always wanted to counterbalance that we would have a different range of perspectives, that it's no one person's view. And for the most part, that held, except for one of the chapters. And that we have a fairly uniform approach to how we outline the content of each of these modules. So over the course from 2001 to 2009, the course was implemented, field tested and implemented, I think a total of 4 times, and it was taught again this past year in 2010. It's been fielded as a 3-credit course. We've taught it seminar style every time, and really, really enjoy the dialogue that happens with that. We only offer it about every other year, in part because the MPH program is so jam-packed that it's really difficult for electives to really have an opportunity to come forward. The very first time, we taught it with just one student because we really wanted to run through, and she was marvelous in giving us feedback. The class has been as big as 15, and the last time it was taught in 2010, there were students from all 3 campuses in Oregon's MPH program. Some of them were 100 miles down the road, and they would teleconference up 3 times a week or three times a month rather, and then come up once a month in order to participate in the program. And we had faculty at Oregon State University who have been a part of this process with us for a long period of time. As we were doing this, our deliverable for CDC was a curriculum outline, and so we did that. And our dream had always been to write this as a textbook, but that is a labor of love for sure. Along the way, however, we did get draft chapters from almost all of the module authors, and we used those draft chapters to engage the students to write critical critiques of the chapter. Often the author of that module would be presenting the material, either by calling in from some of our folks who moved back to the East Coast or coming in person. And it put the students in the position of figuring out what it is they really wanted out of this, what they thought was really working in the chapter, what they didn't. Most of our authors were pretty gracious about that. One of them was rather offended, and he pulled his materials, but we thought it was actually a good process all the way around. We all need to be learning these things. And we did scour for supplemental readings. We really wanted some fairly broad reading, and we wanted to ensure that we were reflecting multiple fields and bringing a fairly scholarly approach to disability within public health. The students would let us know it was a very heavy reading load, and we would debate every year as to whether we should just cut it back, but typically we would have three readings plus the chapter that students were expected to cover. And I think they actually finally fared well. And we had 10 primary topics. I'm going to run through what those topics are and then add just a couple of comments about what has been added subsequently. What was very clear, and for those of you who are not involved with disability, it's such an emerging field within public health, and there are a number of different models and approaches, and historically, people, when you're not conscious about what model you're coming from, you can really get crosswise with people who are coming from a different kind of model. So we thought one of the things that's really important for an emerging field is to start to articulate these and trying to do that in a more neutral approach. So we do cover a medical model of disability, a functional model, social approaches, which will really say disability is not my issue, it is society, and you have constructed things in order to make my life more difficult. You discriminate against me, and let me tell you how that is. And some very scholarly work in that area. And then there are a number of models that really we call integrated approaches. The best example of that is the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health that the World Health Organization put together after a decade of, again, a similar process of really debating some of these issues. So this is a very first framing course or module, and interestingly, my newish boss at the CDC read this and said, wow, I really get it. I guess I really am operating out of this one model, but I really get it, which was pretty amazing. We also have a module on a brief history of public health. Probably is not necessary for a student who has come from public health, but it was my strong desire that this course could be used for other programs like social welfare, like the leadership education for students who are working in disabilities, potentially special education at a more academic level, and wanted to ensure that people had just a grounding in core concepts of public health. We have a chapter on disability epidemiology, which provides, again, one of the things I really wanted to have in there. And it, in some ways, it's a new model of starting to think about epidemiology, but translating in terms of disability and gets into all the difficulty of measuring disability. Multicultural views of disability, how is disability viewed by multiple cultures and somewhat internationally, and I just got my 5-minute warning, so I'm gonna keep it moving. The one chapter that really just maintained a personal perspective is the chapter that was initially commissioned to provide a history of disability, and it was hard for this person to disentangle his own personal experience from that of a disability movement. So it has some history, but we clearly have it labeled as a personal perspective. We have a chapter or and a module on U.S. government programs and services. We'll not provide in-depth information on any of them, but gives a good roadmap of what is all the disability legislation and the services that are available with all the differing, the 67 definitions of disability by the federal government. And then a group who really wanted us to be clear that we could clarify and teach the students what does it really mean to live in America with a disability. The course is very U.S.-centric, and we were clear about that in putting it together. And really wanted to look at the multiple perspectives and considerations that need to come in, including things like unemployment and income, discrimination, abuse, and then in a more positive sense, self-determination and disability, culture self-empowerment. Obviously, it's public health, so we have a chapter that reviews health promotion theory and how that applies to disability and some of the current efforts that are going on now around health promotion and people with disabilities. And then a summary chapter, which is one that I took the lead role on, and I just loved getting back into 10 essential services and really trying to charge our students to be agents of change in order to include disability within public health. I think I've already talked about some of the learning opportunities for the students bringing in the court, the authors, that we did make arrangements for students to get involved. They all had to do a project, and so we would make arrangements for them to get involved with some of the local disability organizations or access to some of the disability data sets, and actually enlisted one student to help write a revision for one of the newer chapters for the book I'll talk about with you about. The course evaluations have always been astoundingly high, almost embarrassingly so, at Oregon Health and Science University, the Science University, the Department of Public Health really has a pretty rigorous process of evaluating the courses to make sure that students are getting their money's worth, I guess. We were both audited in terms of having a proctor participate in classes for a period of time, and then the student evaluations on a scale of five. I think this is probably for the last year, but they've always been between 4.75 to 4.9. More importantly, there are a series of questions that they're asked, and one of the ones we pay a lot of attention to is how much new knowledge did you gain? And again, a 4.8 on five would recommend this. And the students, despite all the reading, made comments that are similar to this. It's the best course that I've had on teaching critical thinking. It's really been very integrative for me. I have really changed my views on how I think about disabilities. The challenges are that there's always been only modest interest in disability within public health, and our authors were very slow in bringing their materials forward. But APHA showed interest in a prospectus that we floated for them, and that put us onto a concrete timeline. So we got the chapters. It did a lot of heavy editing. We're asked to include a chapter in disaster preparedness, which was a really good addition. And then we were really interested, after having worked with the material for a decade, we really wanted to get health determinants and disparities, and that gave us an opportunity to lay forward some of the newer modeling of where some of our thinking is going, and we put in an intro chapter. So it did come out as a book last year. We're really, really pleased with it. Co-published by APHA as well as the American Association on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. And sales have been doing really well. Good evaluations. Some of the challenges have been, how well can this course be taught if you're not a disability scholar in a sense previously? We think we've structured it such that now that the book is available and there's a course curriculum, we think that actually a number of people who have interest would at least have the things to get started with. As I indicated probably to Jeannie earlier, that Dr. Drum very shortly will be moving to New Hampshire, and I know that part of his agreement with his dean is that he can be supportive of other faculty who are interested in picking up the course. One of the other kind of coups that we think came forward is that in Healthy People 2020, we now have an objective, we being the country has an objective to increase the number of Master of Public Health programs that offer graduate level courses in disability and health. And I was now on the other side of the federal government and saw all the public comment to the HP 2020 objectives. It was astounding how much support there was, not only for public health, but for many other health professions to have more disability training. So a lot of interest. And this is the contact information for Dr. Drum. As of January 17th, he'll be at the University of New Hampshire. Thank you.